Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27. We're going to read something of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 27. And then after that, we're going to go to Mark chapter 15, read a little bit more about this event. And then we're going to go to Luke chapter 23, and we're going to read it again and take special note in Luke chapter 23 of something very great that happens on the day of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 27. Begin reading with me, please, in verse 35. Matthew chapter 27, verse 35. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, "They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. Sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.' Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him." That's to make fun of him, to talk bad about him, or we say today, verbal abuse. "They reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, 'Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself.'" Well, they're misquoting him there. In John chapter 2, Jesus Christ said, "Destroy this temple." He didn't say, "I'll destroy it." And he wasn't talking about a building. He was talking about his body. "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up." They misquote him. They say, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.' The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth." Now, you don't say it that way today, "cast the same in his teeth," but you say the same thing. You'll say, I'm going to make you eat those words. The same thing. "Cast the same in his teeth" is what that means. The thieves were right in there with the rest of the crowd, reviling Jesus Christ while they're hanging there on the cross. Now turn to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15, and look at verse 24. Mark chapter 15 and verse 24, "When they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him, and the superscription of his accusation was written over, 'The King of the Jews.' And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, 'And he was numbered with the transgressors.' And they that passed by railed on him." Same thing as they reviled him. "Railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, 'Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross.' Likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, 'He saved others. Himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe.' And they that were crucified with him reviled him." So the thieves are doing the same thing. "They that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour." Now notice in Mark chapter 15, before we leave this passage, look at verse 25. "It was the third hour," so that's 9 o'clock in the morning, "and they crucified him." And then notice Verse 33, when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. All right, so that whole episode lasts 6 hours. But from the time it starts at 9 o'clock in the morning until noon, it's light, and then darkness covers that whole land in the sixth hour. Talking about like a Jewish schedule from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. being 12 hours, so this would be the sixth hour or noon when the darkness comes. See that? And you see the thieves, again, in this passage are reviling him. In Matthew, they were casting the same in his teeth. But you understand there's a 3 hour time frame here. From 9 o'clock until noon, these things are going on. Now, there's something else that happens in Luke chapter 23 during the same period of time. Luke chapter 23, and look at verse 33. Luke chapter 23, verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, Luke 23, 33, when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocking him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Not both of them, one of them. Up until this time, both were casting the same in his teeth. At this time, both were reviling him. Now, the Bible says, one of the malefactors, which was hanged, railed on him, and saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. So it's a mocking thing. He hears them, Come down from the cross and save thyself, and we'll believe. He says, Yeah, if thou be Christ, save thyself. And while you're at it, why don't you save us too? You see, that's what's going on. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Something miraculous transpired in 3 hours in the life of one man on the day of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. A man went from reviling Jesus Christ, from mocking him and telling him to eat his own words, to rebuking a thief and trusting Christ in just 3 hours. What changed the thief on the cross? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful today for the opportunity to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ through the life of this one man. And Father, today I pray that you'll do several things. First of all, today we may have somebody here that does not know you. They may think they do. They don't know you. Or maybe they know they don't know you, but they're going to see what happened in the life of this thief. I beg you that you will help us to be able to concentrate on the preaching of the Word of God as we preach, and to concentrate on the Word of God as we receive it. Help us to put all distractions out of our mind and out of our heart and out of our way, Father. We look to you to be in so much in charge of what takes place here today that you can accomplish all that you desire in our hearts with this. Secondly, I pray for all of us in here today that are saved, that we'll understand just how miraculous things are that take place in your life when you are the one that's allowed to present yourself to sinners. We pray, Father, we can glory in what you've accomplished in this man's life. And then, Father, we know that these sermons are recorded and that they're posted on the internet for others to listen to at another time. And I pray, Heavenly Father, for those who will listen to this sermon, who aren't here today, but who will be able to listen to it, that you'll touch their minds and hearts, and that if they're lost, they can receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior because they see what took place in this man's life. Thank you for recording in the Scripture. Not just the two episodes we saw early in the day when those men were reviling you, but the episode in this one man's life is somewhere during that 3-hour period. His life changed. Help us to understand why that happened, for we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, it is remarkable to see that this man truly, truly changed so completely from somebody hardened against the Lord Jesus Christ, somebody going along with the mocking of the crowd and with the other thief, to somebody who through this would have come to an understanding, a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and I used to say, well, the only evidence that he had of a testimony from the Word of God is that was written above his head. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And that he put his faith in those words. But you know something, as we read through these texts this morning, we see something that's very, very interesting here. This thief changed, first of all, because of, listen, faith in the words of God. Everything that we have read here today in this episode is the Word of God. You know that because it's recorded here for you. And that these are God's words. So he indeed did have that testimony of the inscription above the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. He could see that, and he could believe that in fact that man that's hanging on the cross next to him was the King of the Jews. But you know something? There are people that are mocking Jesus Christ while he's hanging there. There are people who are saying things, and these thieves are repeating. The chief priests and the scribes said in Mark chapter 15, "Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross." They're bearing witness, though they are mocking, to the inscription that is above his head. Let Christ, the King of Israel. Listen, it doesn't just say Jesus of Nazareth, the King of Israel, but Christ. Do you understand these thieves that are hanging there? These are Jewish men. And to a Jew, that term Christ is a very important thing. King of the Jews, that's very important because of his kingdom, but Christ, that's very important because of Messiah. They know that Christ is their Redeemer. Christ is their Savior. Christ, the Messiah, is the one who not only brings in their kingdom, but also brings salvation with him when he comes. And so when he hears those chief priests and scribes saying and repeating, "Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross," he's hearing the preaching of the truth, though they're mocking. You say, yeah, well, if somebody's preaching the truth and they're mocking, God can't do anything with that. That's not what Paul believed. When Paul was in prison, there were people who were preaching to mock him. And there were people that were preaching Christ of sincerity because they loved Paul. Paul said about those when he wrote in Philippians, he said, "The one preached Christ of contention." That's what these guys are doing. They're preaching Christ. They're calling him Christ, the King of Israel. It is contentious for sure. But you know what Paul said? Whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And that's what he's hearing. As a matter of fact, in Matthew, we notice this. He said, that's what they're repeating, "I am the Son of God." That thief is looking over there at this man that's dying on the cross, and he's hearing the testimony of the people there. This is Christ. This is the King of the Jews. This is the Son of God. You know, when Jesus Christ was here in the earth and he was being questioned by the scribes and the Pharisees and the Herodians, trying to trip him up, trying to see if they could catch a word out of his mouth that they could use against him in a trial, they ask him 3 different questions, and he answered those questions. He said, "Okay, now my turn. I'm going to ask you a question. Who is the Messiah?" They said, "Well, he's the son of David." "Good. I want to ask you a question then. How does David call him Lord, seeing that he is his son? And they were absolutely dumbfounded. They didn't know what to say. They couldn't answer him. How is he Lord if he is his son? And the answer to that question is, he's the Son of God. That's the answer. And when Jesus Christ was here on the earth and they asked him, he said, I'm the Son of God. And that day they are saying, he said, I'm the Son of God. And that thief is hearing the truth from the mouth of mockers. They also say about Jesus Christ, he saved others. Oh, that's an interesting thing. He saved others. You know what he saved them from? He saved them, obviously, from their sins. That's why his name is Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. But look, he saved them from their leprosy. He saved them from their being crippled and being maimed. He saved them from blindness. He raised them from the dead. Those guys are giving a testimony about that man hanging on the cross, that what he did worked. He saved others. So while these guys are reviling him and while they are repeating what they're hearing, ha, you saved others, save us. Even that one thief says, yeah, you're Christ. Save us and, save yourself. And while you're at it, save us too. And that thief on that cross on the other side is hearing all of that. And you know what he has done? He has put faith in the words of God. These are the words of God. They're recorded in the Scripture. You know the first thing that he heard before all this nonsense took off? He heard Jesus hanging there saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And this man is blaspheming like Paul did. He said, I did it ignorantly in unbelief. But while that man is hanging there listening to this, his attitude changes because his faith now is in the words of God. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And when he hears those things and recognizes that, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do, that's the Son of God talking to his Father. And it absolutely changed his life. Do you see why the preaching of the word of God is so important as we're in here this morning? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It's the preaching of the words of God like you're hearing today that affects people's attitude. You can come to church and be drug in here by your parents. You can come to church and be drug in here by your spouse. You can come in here because you're just feeling bad and you don't know where else to go. But you could have come in here with a bad attitude, and I'm going to tell you something. If God could change this man in 3 hours, he can change you in 45 minutes. The first thing that happened to this guy was faith in the words of God. The second thing that happened to him was wisdom from the fear of God. Look what he says in Luke 23 to that other thief that's hanging on the cross in verse 40. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God? Dost not thou fear God? You know, the fear of God is the most wonderful thing in the world. The Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And while that guy is first smarting off, he doesn't fear God. And you know, there are times in our lives where we've been smarting off and doing things, and all of a sudden, you know, you're acting real cool, and all of a sudden you look up and your dad has just come around the corner and he's looking at your feelings. You're like, ooh. And you don't feel so smart-alecky anymore. What happened? You just got the fear of your dad put into you, and it absolutely changed your attitude. That thief got the fear of God while he was hanging up there on that cross. And when he got that, with that came wisdom, and with that came knowledge. And he is like, man, this is a bad maneuver here right now. The guy, listen, that thief hanging on the cross was, from the time that he was up on that cross till the time he died was 6 hours. From the time they crucified him, he had 6 hours of life left. And it's very common for people in their lives to be a little bit smart-alecky about things of God. But as they get close to death, their skepticism and their smart-alecky attitude doesn't seem to hold up anymore. And a lot of times there's a rude awakening. I am not prepared for life after death. I've got a will, so I've prepared for my heirs. I've got a life insurance policy, so I've prepared for my spouse. I've got these other things that I've done to prepare for my absence, but I haven't prepared for my eternity. And that realization, while he hears all that going on and his faith has changed his attitude about those words spoken, he fears God, and with that fear comes wisdom. And he realizes this situation is not looking good right now. Here's the next thing that happened. What changed this thief on the cross was faith in the words of God, wisdom from the fear of God, and acceptance of the judgment of God. Acceptance of the judgment of God. Look what he says again in verse 40. Dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. That's a great realization. You know, they're over here mocking Jesus Christ like they are in a position to judge him. And this thief realizes something about himself. I am in condemnation. This punishment is just. I am receiving the due reward of my deeds. When we have an opportunity to visit with folks that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, we'll say, you know, you're going to be judged. You're a sinner, short of the glory of God, and you are going to be judged by God. That absolutely means nothing to most sinners, because they don't think that what they've done is bad enough to put them in the condemnation of God. They have already judged themselves good enough. I mean, I can't tell you how many people we visited with personally about their souls, well over 1,000, well into the thousands of people during all these years in the ministry. You mention sin, they laugh like these guys did. Yeah, well, everybody sinned. See that attitude? You've sinned. Yeah, I know, but God wouldn't send a person like me to hell. They sense no condemnation. They sense no due reward for their sin. They sense no justice on the part of God. I'm going to tell you something. What they say, we're just cut to the chase. There is not one person in here today who can stand before God without Christ and be justified in the condition you're in right now. You cannot. I don't care how good you think you are. You have done enough. You've thought enough. You are enough to be under the condemnation of God. He said, well, I don't believe that. You should. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. See, you're thinking, well, I haven't done this and I haven't done that. No, you've done the worst thing imaginable on this side of eternity. You have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Holy Spirit comes into this earth, the Bible says He came to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. And if you haven't trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have committed the worst sin possible on this side of glory. Jesus said, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. What condemned him? He didn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you don't have to wait. You see, this thief didn't have to wait till he got out into eternity to see how this thing was going to look on God's scale. He recognized right now, we are in the condemnation. He didn't wait to face God in heaven. He was facing God on the cross. I'm talking about the Son of God. On the cross, and He said, I'm condemned because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Look at this. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life. Watch it. But the wrath of God abideth on him. You got it right now. That thief realized that. Acceptance of the judgment of God. He said, I don't have to wait to find out how this thing is going to score out with God. I can't stand there and say, well, I'm a Jew. I'm one of the chosen race. I'm in because of Abraham, like the Pharisees did. He said, I'm under condemnation. And he said to the thief, he's witnessing while he's getting saved, you are too, bub. We are in the same condemnation. We receive the due reward of our deeds. And that man accepted the judgment of God. But that's not all. He had faith in the words of God. He had wisdom from the fear of God. He accepted or had acceptance of the judgment of God. And then notice this, the recognition of the righteousness of God. In verse 41, we indeed justly, for we received the true reward, the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. He's right. This man hath done nothing amiss. He's hanging there considering this whole picture. You've got a little time to think about it, right? Whole lot of commotion going on, people mocking, making fun. They've had their little bit of deal. Now the pain of this crucifixion is really setting in. The reality of my coming death is here. And he's looking over there and he's going, you know, I wonder what that guy did. And he's hearing all these other things that are being leveled against him. And he finds out, you know something? This guy hadn't done anything wrong at all. And who knows whether there are other people, because Mary is there and Mary Magdalene is there and Mary the wife of Cleopas is there and the centurion is there. He's watching all this. And after Jesus dies, he says, truly, this was the Son of God. And there are other people, you know, that are there. There's also undoubtedly other conversations going on. At some point, Jesus says to his mother, behold thy son, speaking of John. And he says to John, behold thy mother, so that she's got some place to live after his death. Kind of taking care of this, you know, who's going to take care of mom when I'm gone? He's handling all that while he's up on the cross. Amazing. And so all these other things are going on. There's somebody down there going, I don't know why they crucified him. He didn't do anything wrong. Pilate said, I find no fault in this man at all. Herod, there's no fault in this man. And that thief looks over there and he looks at him and he goes, you know something? He's dying and he hadn't done anything wrong. He has done nothing amiss. You know what he recognized? He recognized the righteousness of God. That is a just man. You see, if anybody in this whole arena where I am right now can save me, that guy can. Those guys are wrong for mocking him. That other thief was wrong for mocking him. I was wrong for mocking him. I'm wrong anyway because I've been condemned for I'm receiving the due rewards of my deeds. All these other people that said crucify him and put him up on the cross, they're wrong. If there's anybody in this whole area right now that can do something for me, that's the man right there. Because that's the only guy in this whole place that's righteous. The disciples, they hightailed it, you know. So he's got one option. He saved others. I wonder if he can save me. I wonder if he can save me. The recognition of the righteous God. You know, this is the thing that throws people when it comes to salvation through Israel. Because when it comes to the subject of righteousness, it is in the nature of men to get their own righteousness. Oh, well, I go to such and such a church. Well, I'm a such and such religion. Well, I haven't ever shot anybody. I hadn't ever done anything that bad. That's how men are. That's how women are. We have in us the nature to build our own righteousness. The Bible says they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. He's looking at that thing and he's going, you know something? If there's anybody here that can do anything for this man, that's the man right there, because he's righteous. And I ought to say to you today, if you ever hope to be able to see God in heaven, if you ever hope to be saved, you have to recognize this. You are unrighteous, and He is all righteousness. And you will accept the judgment of God in condemnation, or you will receive the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. And if you receive the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, you will pass the judgment of God for your sin. And that thief figured that out. He saw that, the recognition of the righteousness of God. But that's not all, because up to this point, you could do all of that sitting where you are and still be lost. You could still be in the condemnation like that thief was. But the Bible says this in verse 42, He said unto Jesus, Lord, that is an astounding thing. Do you know something? You know, one of the reasons I know that the devil has done something in the translation of these modern Bibles, because at key places in the Bible, he makes very significant changes. You know what the modern Bibles do here? He said, Jesus, remember me in your kingdom. And that's not what the man said. That man said, Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. The recognition is, you must know that Jesus Christ is the Lord. He wasn't talking to a man named Jesus. He was talking to the Lord. No man can confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. See? And that guy looked at Jesus Christ. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. What changed this thief on the cross? Faith in the words of God, wisdom from the fear of God, acceptance of the judgment of God, recognition of the righteousness of God, and calling upon the Son of God. Man, that changed everything in just a split second. Calling upon the Son of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. He heard all of these things and he recognized, I got to do something about that. Paul writes later in Romans chapter 10 and he says this, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This guy has never read what Paul wrote. This guy, all this took place before Paul said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. That man is looking over there and has put this whole thing together. God has made it plain to a thief on the cross. This guy didn't have a PhD. He didn't go to a Bible college. He didn't study through all those scriptures. This guy was a thief. He had committed capital crimes. He was skipping school. You know what I mean? He was a bad guy. But he looked over there and he goes, I know what I'm doing. I know what this is. That's the Lord. That's the Lord. And so he didn't even hesitate. He didn't say, by the way, are you? Hey, look this way. You the Lord? You know, that's what Jesus presented himself to that blind man that was healed in John chapter 9. He said, you believe on the Son of God? He said, who is he? And I believe. He said, I am. Oh, okay. He didn't say, you the Lord? He just looked over there and he said, I put this whole thing. You know what? God did this for him. Put that whole thing together and he realized that is the Lord. And this is an astounding thing. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Here's what the man can see. He sees a man that's been condemned by the authorities. A man hanging naked on the cross, because you read with me today, they took all of his garments. He had five pieces of clothing. They divided up four of those, and then they took the vesture and they cast lots for those to see who that would be. Now he's hanging there naked. He's very badly beaten. The Bible says that he's beaten so badly, you can't tell what he looks like. His visage was marred beyond recognition. He's looking at a badly bloodied, badly beaten, naked man hanging on the cross next to him. What in the world would possess that man to believe that that fellow next to him is going to go into a kingdom? He's dying. He's dying. But you know something? He heard them say, in 3 days I'll raise it up. He heard that. The Pharisees knew that Jesus Christ had testified over and over again, you bury me and I'm coming up in 3 days. That's why they went to Pilate after Jesus Christ died on the cross and said, seal that tomb. We don't want the disciples to see them because we don't want them to come and take his body away and then say he rose from the dead. That'd be worse than what's happened today. Even the two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus had a sad, long face, and Jesus said, why? And they said, because this is the third day. Everybody knew that, and Jesus, when he was here, they kept asking him, what sign? What sign? What sign? He said, the sign of the prophet Jonas. I don't know if this thief went to Daily Vacation Bible School when he was a kid or not. But if he did, I guarantee you, one of those lessons is about Jonah and the whale. And Jonah came up after 3 days, and Christ said, the only sign I need to give you is Jonah. Why? Jonah came up after 3 days. You know, that Bible tells us, thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He's looking at Jesus Christ, dying, bloodied, and naked, and he knows something. That man is coming up. He's the only one of all the people that are there that day. The disciples don't get it. Those that are there weeping, they don't get it. That man looking over there and saying, you know what? This is not the end of that man right there. That old boy right there may look like he's in hopeless condition to all the rest of you, but I see in him a man coming into his kingdom. And so with all the faith that comes from the words of God, the wisdom of God, and the recognition of the righteous God, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You got to know Jesus Christ looked over there and said, with a smile on his face, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Oh my goodness. You have it so easy today. Jesus has already been raised from the dead. There are already people that have witnessed this. It's recorded in the Scripture. You don't have to wonder what's going to happen to the man. You already know. And you won't believe that guy didn't know, but he knew. That man's coming up. Boy, you talk about faith. Well, what time was it when he finished this episode here? Sixth hour of the day. It's noon. They have 3 more hours, and the Bible says in verse 44, it was about the 6th hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the 9th hour. Darkness, 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 everywhere darkness, except one place, right there, with that thief on the cross. Because here's the last thing that changed that thief on that cross, was rejoicing in the salvation of God. You know what the devil tries to hide from you? He tries to hide from you the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Darkness came over that whole place. Luke says, over all the earth. Sun is shining, but there's darkness over all that land. But that one man is just sitting there. Do you know, for the next 3 hours, hanging there on the cross, he's just looking over there. There's no more conversation that's recorded. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He's just over there like this, hanging on the cross, like, and I can't wait. It's a slow process, boy. I wish things would hurry up here. I'm going to be with that man in paradise today. Don't you know when he said today, he's like, the most I got is 6 hours. If it's all going to happen today and it's noon, I just got 6 more hours. Man, this hurts, but boy, am I happy. Man, have I got light. Dark all around here, but the light of the glorious gospel of Christ is shining in me. Woo-hoo! Come on, boys. And then all of a sudden he looks around there and it's the 9th hour. It's just been 3 hours since Jesus told him, you're coming with me today. And here come the soldiers to break their legs. He's like, oh, thank God. Break him, buddy! Woo-hoo! I'm going someplace you're not even going to believe. Boom! He breaks those things and he wakes up in paradise with Jesus Christ. What an unbelievable experience. Looking at this man, my Lord, my King, my Christ, forever. He had no hope as a thief. Not in his condemnation. Everything changed for him that day. All in a matter of 3 hours. What about you? What about you? 45 minutes you've been listening to something that took place in a man's life. He had to have a whole lot more faith than you do. Do you fear God enough to believe that you're under the condemnation of God without Christ? You have enough faith to believe that when Jesus Christ said, "Whosoever shall," or Paul said, "Whosoever called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." When Jesus Christ said, "God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life," He was talking to you. There's nobody in here mocking Jesus Christ today. There's nobody reviling Jesus Christ today. We're all on His side pulling for Him. And here you are in the best company you could be in. Here you are with the truth fulfilled. And all that Christ says is, "I will give you the same eternal life I gave that man if you'll trust my Son." Will you receive Him today? And will you be with Him today? Jesus said through Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, today is the day of salvation. Father, thank you so much for a tremendous passage of Scripture. What a tremendous testimony. One man against all odds coming to Jesus Christ and being given the assurance of his salvation at a time when everybody else was against him. Father, I ask you please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us with two things here. Obviously, the vast majority of the people here today are saved. Help us to really appreciate this, because our faith is weak at times, and help us to understand what it was that strengthened this man's faith so we too can have our faith in the words of God and rejoice in the salvation of God, walking in the fear of God. I don't know, but Lord, you do. If there's somebody here today that's not saved, they desperately need Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be something? People have often said at funerals, you know, if somebody just gets saved, it'll be worth it. Here we've talked about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody would get saved, sure would be worth it. Holy Spirit of God, move with your great wisdom, speaking to the hearts of these that are here. No preacher was there that day. Just a bunch of people mocking Jesus. Today we have a preacher. Today we have the book. Today it's all right here in front of us. Is there somebody here today that's lost, that needs Jesus? That would just say, you know, preacher, that thief recognized he was lost and so he got saved. I've just now recognized I'm lost and I need to be saved. Is there anybody? Just raise your hand. Just say, yeah, preacher, man, that is me. I do. I need to be saved. I suppose with no hands raised, everybody here is saved perhaps, but boy, I'll tell you what, before we close this thing, I just want to mention something to you. You know, if there's any doubt in your mind, why would you do this? Why would you go into life without Christ? That just makes no sense to me at all. I'm not pressuring anybody here again, but I just want to be sure. If there's anybody here today that say, preacher, you know, I need somebody to just sit down and talk with me about this. I need to be sure of my salvation. I need to be saved. Don't take any chances with that. This guy couldn't afford to take any chances. He only had 3 hours left. You think you got all the time in the world. You don't know what you got. But I want to ask you something. Is there anybody here today? Please, preacher, pray for me. Yes, I do need to visit with you or somebody about my soul. Just raise your hand real quick and put it right back down, then we'll know. Anybody? Okay, Father, we sure thank you today for the preaching of the Word of God. We're asking you, please, in Jesus' name, help us to firmly remember the things we've heard today. Help them to help us live by these things, for we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.